Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Gloria Copeland as she begins a special series that reveals the steps you can take that will put you into the perfect will of God for your life. Learn how to walk the right path on a daily basis.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Hallelujah. It's the voice of victory because we preach the Word of God. That's what gives us victory in our lives. I want to talk to you today about 24 things to get you in the perfect will of God. And it's from one chapter in the Bible, but it has to be the Amplified Bible. So we're going to look at Romans 12 in the Amplified Bible, and I'm going to point out 24 things that will help you and get you into the will of God. You know, we think about the will of God being the big things. Where shall I go to work? Who shall I marry? Where shall I go to school? But if you don't do the things that keep you in a place where you hear God and you're obedient to God, you're not going to hear the big answers either. So this is about mostly how to live, how to walk day by day. And it's an amazing thing, this chapter. I know the Lord showed me this one day some time back, that there are 24 things here that if you do these things, it will get you in the perfect will of God for your life. It'll put you in a position to hear from God, to know what to do, to know what the next step is, and to have the power to see it through. So if you don't have an Amplified Bible, you might just want to just take notes with us, because that's really where we're going to study from mostly today. In chapter 12 of Romans 12, in verse 1, it says, and I've got these things marked off in here by numbers. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members, faculties, as a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y, holy, are separated, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. So the first thing we have to deal with after we get born again and hopefully filled with the Spirit, because that's where power comes into you, really. The Spirit of God has a more definite, stronger place in you than when you were just first born again. And He can get things over to you easier, and you can hear better, and you are stronger, and you have more power after you receive the Holy Spirit. So you have to be born again and then receive the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Well, ask Him to come into your heart and ask Him to live in you, the Spirit of God, to come into you and receive Him as a teacher. And have hands laid on you by someone, but that's not necessary. But if it's hard for you to do it without that, get somebody that can pray and believe God with you. So after you get born again and filled with the Spirit, then you make a decisive, number one is make a dedication of your bodies to the Lord. What does that mean? That means, Lord, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to find in the Word how you say to live and what you say to do, and what I see there, I'm going to do. I'm going to make changes. I dedicate. You've been born again now. You're filled with the Spirit. And now you dedicate your body, your members, your faculties, as a living sacrifice. In other words, I'm going to obey God. Now here are some other scriptures. What we can look up in Romans 6:4, we're talking about dedicating our body. About these things, we're going to look up other scriptures to help us receive the fullness of it. It says, what shall we say? This is actually 6:1. What shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace, favor, and mercy may multiply and overflow? Certainly not. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? So when we were born again, we died to sin and we became alive to God. Verse 3 of chapter 6 in Romans says, "Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism in death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life." When we were born again, that old man died. And we were born over again, what the Bible calls in the book of Corinthians, a new creature. We became a new creature in Christ Jesus. It says there, "Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." So the new birth, if you're just now checking into these things, the new birth is something that really happens to you when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You're born over again. You're not the same on the inside. You won't have the same desires. Now, if you keep hanging out in the same places and doing the same things, it may be hard for you to tell a difference. But if you will do what this scripture says and what this first point is of staying in the will of God, if you'll dedicate your body wherever you are, whether you've just first been born again or not, dedicate your body to the Lord. In other words, you're making a commitment, "Lord, I'm going to do what I find that you tell me to do in the Word of God. I'm going to obey you." So you dedicate your body to the Lord. And this says that we were buried with him by baptism into death. That old man died. The old man of sin died. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually, that's day in, day out, habitually live and behave in newness of life. Hallelujah. So we make a dedication of our bodies. That's the first thing. We live in newness of life. Verse 6 says in Romans 6, "We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be slaves of sin. For when a man dies, he is freed, loosed, delivered from the power of sin. Glory to God." So when we were born again, our old man died. A new man created in Christ Jesus in the likeness of God was put on the inside of us. So we don't have to act like that same old man anymore. Now people do. They get born again and they never get any teaching or word, and they don't understand what happened to them. And many times they go right back into the same old lifestyle, even though they are a new creature in Christ Jesus. But we, if we want to walk with God, we dedicate our bodies to the Lord. And that means we consider ourselves dead to sin. Well, do you ever sin? Yes, you sin, but you repent of it, you get it straight, and you walk with all your might in the newness of life after that new man in Christ Jesus, the new creature in Christ that the Bible talks about. And the scripture just tells us we become new creations in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're not the same person that we were before. We're living in the same body, and our soul or our mind, our will, and our emotions has to be renewed to the Word of God to know what happened to us and what belongs to us. But we get in the Word of God. We get born again. We get filled with the Spirit because He is the teacher of the church. And then we take a daily practice of God's Word and remind ourselves continually what the Bible says about this new creature and how he's to live. This point is that we, and let me just read 11 through 14. It says to us, "Even so," well, let's look at 10. "For by death he died," Jesus died, "he died to sin, ending his relation to it once and for all. And the life," no, this is the new creature. This is talking about the new creature. Let me go back up here to 6 so I make it plain. "We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be slaves of sin. For when a man dies, He is freed, loosed, delivered from the power of sin among men. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, because we know that Christ, the Anointed One, being once raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. Now, he became sin for us on the cross. He took the whole curse of the law that you see in Deuteronomy 26 through 28. And you see what he did. He took that whole curse. He took the curse that came upon sin, that came upon man through sin. He took it in himself. And then he bore it for us. And then he was raised from the dead himself, after being made sin, himself being made a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature in God after taking our sin. He had no sin, but he took our sin. He bore the curse for us. And so it says, for by death he died. He died to sin, ending his relation to it once and for all. And the life that he now lives, he is living to God the Father in unbroken fellowship with him. Jesus died with our sins. He took death upon himself to release us from the power of death, to release us from the power of sin. And now in verse 11 it says, even so consider yourselves also dead to sin. Jesus was raised up pure and the Son of God once again without sin, without any darkness upon him at all, after he bore the whole curse by the power of God. And so were we. When you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you were born again out of sin, out of death, into righteousness, into life. That really happened to you. Jesus really took the curse for us, became a curse for us, so that we could become sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. He's our Savior. He died on the cross for us, spiritually, physically, in every way, in Jesus' name. Even so, we're to consider ourselves dead to sin, our relation to it broken, but alive to God and living in unbroken fellowship with him in Christ Jesus. Verse 12 says, let not sin, therefore, you, that's your position, that's my responsibility, your responsibility. You let not sin, therefore, rule as king in your mortal bodies, your bodies that are subject to death, to make you yield to its cravings and subject to its lusts and evil passions. Do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members to sin, but offer and yield yourselves to God as though you have been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them as instruments of righteousness or implements of righteousness. Verse 14 says, for sin. This is talking to the person that's born again, the new creature in Christ Jesus. For sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you. Glory to God. We've been raised up to sit with him in heavenly places. Now, we dedicate our body to God, and we allow ourselves to be transformed, our thoughts from God to transform us, his teaching, his word to transform us. In other words, we become obedient to the written word. Well, and you say, and thank God we have the written word. Without the written word, we would become obedient to the Spirit of God. I mean, the disciples, they had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Testament. But they had the Spirit of God, and he taught them. And that's how we got the New Testament, because they heard from the Holy Spirit, and they wrote it down. Hallelujah. And it says, sin shall not have dominion over you. After you're born again, you have power over sin. You may not be walking in it. You may not be taking advantage of it, but you've got the power over sin. You have the power over sin. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. So the first step to being in the will of God, or the first thing that will help you get into the will of God, is to dedicate your body to God, to obey God, to do what he says. Thank God we do have the written word. So we know the will of God, and we have the Spirit of God to teach us and to train us. And the more we walk in God's will and do what He says for us to do, the more the blessing of God comes on our lives. That's what they had to do in the old covenant. It said, if you'll do these things, you'll be blessed. But if you do these things, you'll be cursed. And they had to make a decision. You do too. So the first thing to being in the will of God is to dedicate your body. Cause your body to obey God and to obey the Word of God. And in the New Testament, to walk in love. Hallelujah. That's our law. But if you walk in the new, if you walk in love, you fulfill all of the covenant. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at number two. So one is dedicate your body to God. You've been born again. Walk in new life. Walk in newness of life. Obeying God. Put those things out of your life that you know are not pleasing to Him. You have power to do that. You are a born-again person. You're born of God. You have authority. You can put those drugs out. You can put alcohol out. You can put immorality out. And so that is the first step. Dedicate your body. Number two is in Romans 12:2. It says, do not be... Now, we've dedicated ourselves, we've dedicated our bodies, we've made a decisive decision that we're going to follow God, we're going to do what He says. The second thing is, do not be conformed to this world. This world is crazy, and the longer it goes, the crazier they get. Now, they think we're crazy, but we know they're crazy, because we know the Word of God. And so we can't be conformed to the world. I mean, the world, just the world standards have dropped a lot since I was, since Ken and I even married back there in whatever year it was, way back in the Stone Age. No, 45 years ago. It was in about 62. And so we were, you know, just since I was a young adult, in other words, things in the world have changed significantly. Just the morals of the common, everyday common morals of the people of this country have changed significantly. Primarily, it's because of things that is in front of our eyes and going in our ears through television, through movies, through, you know, there's all kind of bad stuff out there, but we don't have to watch it. And we're not to be conformed to it. If you don't want to be conformed to it, then don't feed on it. If you don't want to be immoral, then don't feed on immorality in movies and on television and all those things. So the second thing is, do not be conformed to this age. Now, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, let's look that up. We're getting close to being out of time now. But now the Spirit of the Lord, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, freedom. And all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured even into His own image. In ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another, and this comes from the Spirit of the Lord. We know that Jesus was transfigured one day on the mount, and He was transfigured. He began to shine. He was transfigured. We're supposed to be, after we're born again, we're supposed to let the Spirit of God transfigure us on the outside as He has done on the inside. But we have to cooperate with Him. And then the Scripture teaches us that when we're born again, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. How much time do I have left? Let's look that up in 2 Corinthians 5. Think about this now. This is real. This is not just pretty words. This really happens to us. It said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation. Any person in Christ is a new creature, the King James says. The Amplified says, he is a new creation. So we were made new on the inside. A new creation altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. That old man died. That old man that we were before we made Jesus the Lord of our life has died. He's gone. And behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us to himself, or, as the Amplified says, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. So when we made Jesus the Lord of our lives, we became new creatures. We were born again. That's not just a religious term. That's what really happened to us. Jesus was born again. When he bore our sicknesses and sins, he was actually made that curse for us. And he had to be born out of that again after he suffered the penalty for our sins. That old man in us died, and he was raised. The Bible teaches us we were raised up to sit with him in heavenly places. So we are new creatures if we're born again, if Jesus is our Lord. So we are to dedicate our bodies, and we're to be transformed and walk. Ephesians 4 says, put on the new man. We're to put on this new man now that we're born again, now that we're new on the inside. We're to let that new man come out. Now, how is the best way to do that? The best way to do that is to get in the Word of God and believe the Bible and do what it says. Let it correct you. Let it teach you right from wrong. Tell you where to walk, where not to walk, what habits to have. There are good habits and there are bad habits. The Bible teaches us what to do. It teaches us to live moral lives. It teaches us to spend time with God, to pray, to spend time in the Word. We put on the new man, hallelujah, that's been renewed, remade, restored, reborn in Christ Jesus. I'll be right back.
In a world out of sync, beating to its own rhythm, God has a different way for you to live by His Spirit. Escape the detours, miss the wrong turns, and get your life going in the right direction with God's Word and the power of faith.
And you can walk in victory every day of your life in this earth if you will learn to walk with God every day.
Walk in the Spirit, a dynamic, life-changing teaching by Gloria Copeland, is just the resource you need to help get your life in sync with God's Spirit. You'll learn how to tap into all that God has planned for you, discover how to develop faithfulness to God, overcome the struggle to control your own life, find out how to live a life pleasing to God, and learn more about the benefits of living in obedience to God and His Word. Start living a whole new life today, walking in the Spirit. To order your copy of Walk in the Spirit, log on to kcm.org and order online. This dynamic CD series by Gloria Copeland is now available for just $16.99. Walk in the Spirit is a great teaching for anyone who wants to be guided by the Holy Spirit and walk out God's plan for their lives. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or if you prefer to write, the address is Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192.
Walk in the Spirit is a great set of teaching CDs to help you get into the will of God in your life. When you can hear from the Spirit, you're going to know what decisions to make. You're going to know where to walk. You're going to know what to do. And really, all we have to do is just follow what God says. But we have to come to a place where we hear from heaven. So I want to encourage you to get the CDs on walking in the Spirit. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that is the first step to being in the will of God. You can't possibly be in the will of God without making Jesus the Lord of your life. He came. He took sin for you. He bore it on the cross for you. He bore your sicknesses and your diseases so that you could be well. He bore your sins so that you could be born again and become righteous in God. So if that's what you need to do, it is what you need to do if you haven't done it, and that's what you want to do right now, just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Come into my life and do something with it. He's there waiting. He wants you. He cares about you. God cares about you. He will take your life and turn it around so fast you'll just think, why didn't I do this before now? He can do a better job than you can do for sure. So give yourself over to Him. We've got material. We'll send you free. This is all about things that happened to you. It's about teaching on how to study the Bible. Just write to us. We'll send them to you absolutely free. We want to help you get started, and we want to hear about what happened to you today. Take the step. Make a change. If you want to change, make a change. Join me tomorrow. We're going to be talking more. We didn't get very far on 24 things for the will of God, but you got to help me now. We're going to finish up this week and next week on 24 things to get you in the will of God. The first thing was making Jesus the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. And that's probably the easiest step of all. But the Lord will help you. He sends His Spirit to us to help us, to strengthen us, to teach us, to guide us. And all we have to do is just flow with Him and do what we're told. I'll see you again tomorrow. And remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. Get ready to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland along with other anointed ministers from across the country and come together with believers from around the world. Join us at one of these life-changing meetings in 2008. Come to the Branson Victory Campaign March 6th to the 8th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Then to California for the West Coast Believers Convention June 30th to July 5th. This year at a new location. Join us at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Then head down to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention from August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Come to the Great Lakes Believers Convention August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information on these or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.